And I wanted us to think about that wonderful chapter that I read just now from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we look, God willing, at verses 7 to 18, the whole of that section entitled Cast Down But Unconquered and Seeing the Invisible in my copy of the New King James Version. Whenever we read 2 Corinthians, I think we see Paul transparently speaking about himself in a way that we don't in other letters. He opens his heart up here. It's the most personally transparent of all his epistles. He's very candid about his hardships, his struggles, and his sufferings. And he confesses his weakness, including the thorn in the flesh. We're not exactly sure what that was, but it was in the flesh, so it was clearly in his body, and it was a thorn, so it was clearly painful. And this section begins with a description of the way in which we regard our bodies and the way in which our bodies are. We have this treasure, he says, in earthen vessels. Now, I don't know about you, but increasingly, I feel that to be true of me, that this body in which I live is an earthen vessel, a jar of clay. Don't you feel your limitations too? We all experience them. Physical, psychological problems, stress, disappointment, discouragement, failure. Failure in ourselves, failure of our expectations. It's very easy to become weary, to become unwell, to be depressed. Sometimes we have to struggle with our temperaments, like Timothy, and a sense of our own inadequacy. I think there are other particular temptations that face us at the various stages of life. Younger people, for example, can be headstrong and unwise, or they can be timid and unsure of themselves. There are many unhelpful influences at work designed to trick and trap young people. It's possible for younger people to get caught up in fads and fancies, the latest new thing. It's possible for young people to think that they know it all, particularly if they're second-year students in university. It's possible to be career-centered when you're young and you're wanting to get on. And then middle-aged people have their own stresses. Sometimes when we're in the middle years of our lives, we find particular pressures. Family life is sometimes onerous. Sometimes work is difficult. Sometimes we have big mortgages to pay. We carry responsibilities that are sometimes almost too big for us. And our commitment to serve God may weaken. We may feel somehow or another that we deserve a bit of a break. And that can hang on and go into older people's lives as well, so that older people think that now they deserve to have a rest. It's time to retire, to leave the work to other people, to be slack, to relax, to become spectators, to go on travel tours and so on, to take it easy. We all have these particular temptations at the various stages of life. Paul describes the Christian life as a marathon. It's hard going very often. Earlier on in the first letter that he wrote, he puts this very graphically. Do not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. Therefore I run like this, not with uncertainty. This is how I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. and bring my body into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's a picture of the marathon runner keeping fit and maintaining a level of fitness that is absolutely necessary. And Paul describes in this particular letter some of the hardships he endured. And when we read them, we feel a little bit ashamed when we start to complain. Are they ministers of Christ? He's being ironic in this section. I am more, I speak as a fool. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often. Have you ever had a sleepless night? In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? He's talking frankly about his hardships, but he kept on running. And that really is what he's telling us to do here, from an autobiographical point of view. Paul never gave up. He never neglected his responsibilities. He didn't become self-indulgent and idle. That's the way to depression, to feeling useless, to being restless, even cynical. That was not Paul. Neither should it be you or I. Now this section, I think, helps us. And I want to pick out just 4 things that I certainly found extremely helpful personally. The first is that there is a paradox in the Christian life that we have to receive and accept. Because if we don't, we're in real trouble. The paradox is that in this jar of clay, this body, I carry a treasure. A treasure in an earthen vessel. Now the treasure Paul is here describing for us in wonderful ways. He talks about the mercy of God. And then he speaks about the word of God that we are to handle properly. He speaks about the gospel, veiled to those who are perishing, but nevertheless given to us. He speaks about the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. He speaks about Christ Jesus, our Lord. He talks about God commanding light to shine into our hearts, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. It's Jesus Christ and all the glory that surrounds him as God and man and the Savior. He's entrusted this treasure to us. And we are very human. We are not supermen. We are all subject to the effects of the fall. We are all under pressure, physical, psychological, social, and sometimes spiritual. We all know what it is to feel weary. We all know what it is to fail. But we carry a treasure. We are to keep it pure and unsullied. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But God has given it to ordinary people like us, with all our fragility and vulnerability. And that's God's way. That's his plan and purpose to do that. So that weak people like us carry this treasure. And it's a paradox. But it's necessary to accept both sides of the paradox. We are to accept the weakness that we feel, because if we don't, we'll become ambitious and headstrong and assertive and popularity seekers, big people. But we are also to accept the treasure the strength. Because if we don't, we become defeatist and depressed and critical and censorious. So here is a paradox, and we are to accept both sides of it, the weakness and the strength. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we are to remember the power of God. Paul actually refers here to four circumstances that put him under pressure, but he contrasts them with the power of God. He speaks, for example, about being hard-pressed on every side, hemmed in, trapped. There's no way out. These circumstances have no door out of them, it seems, like Joseph in prison. Hard-pressed, but not crushed. Not crushed. Those promises of God, said William Tyndale about Joseph, accompanied him always, went down with him, even to the deep dungeon, brought him up again, and never forsook him, till all that was promised was fulfilled. Hard pressed, but not crushed. He talks about being perplexed, not knowing what is happening to me and why. Problems I can't solve, mysteries I can't fathom, people I can't change, situations that I can't improve. Perplexed, but not in despair. Put to it, says someone, but not utterly put out. He speaks about being persecuted, hunted down, whipped, beaten, imprisoned, like many Christians are today, physically. Maybe that we are more prone to psychological persecution and pressure and criticism. People today marginalize Christians and overlook Christians and ridicule Christians, persecuted, but not forsaken. Never will I leave you nor forsake you, said the Lord. He talks about being struck down, as he was literally at Lystra. But then he says, not destroyed, not knocked out, even though I may have been knocked over. Why is that? Well, the power of God is at work in me. The life of Jesus is at work in me, he says. So at the same time that we feel the pressures of life, at the same time, God enables us by his power to continue and to overcome. We are to remember that, always to remember that. We are never on our own. The Lord is with us. Come what may, he is with us. And we are to rejoice in it. Now that's the second thing, the paradox and then the power. And then the third thing that Paul talks about here is the great purpose of God. He speaks about God's purpose being worked out through our weakness. That was true of Joseph, particularly. It was true also of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's true of every Christian. The purpose of God at work in our lives through weakness. And there are three ways in which that is so. The first is that God's purpose is that we should have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ in his dying and in his rising. That's how Paul puts it here. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. Our Lord knows what weakness means. Our Lord went through exhaustion and weariness, that is perhaps something that we have never experienced to the same degree. He fell asleep exhausted. He was hunted and harried and forsaken. He was denied and betrayed and then crucified in weakness. Paul said, I die daily. We are never sure about what's going to happen to us. We are weak, we are mortal. We carry about in the body, says Paul, the dying of the Lord Jesus. That is literally true. But we also share in his resurrection. His life manifested in our mortal body, one day gloriously in the new resurrection life of the new heavens and the new earth. But now, still at work within us, by the Spirit quickening our mortal bodies. So we're risen people, we're resurrection people, even though we still carry around these mortal bodies for a period, until they're going to be renewed and resurrected too. So we share in the risen as well as the suffering life of Jesus. That's one area of fruitfulness. It's part of God's purpose. And there's another too, a second. Through sufferings and through weakness and through God's power and grace in our lives, other people are blessed. So there's fruitfulness in the lives of other people. Joseph is a classic example of this in the Old Testament, but not only Joseph, whose hardships had a profound impact upon him, his brothers, his father, Pharaoh, the whole of the ancient Near East. Not only Joseph, think of Naomi in Moab, bereaved, without a husband and sons, and yet through her influence and witness, Ruth comes to know the Lord and serve the Lord, goes back with her to her own country, and then you will remember the great chain of development which led eventually to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Stephen being stoned to death, but the impact of his life and death on Saul of Tarsus. Fruitfulness in the lives of other people. Paul puts it like this: death is working in us, but life in you. That's what really matters to me, said Paul. Whatever happens to me, I want it to have an impact on you. I want you to be helped and you to be blessed. All the time he's thinking about other people. Fruitfulness in the lives of other people. What a great thing that is. When we cease to be self-centered and become people carers. Fruitfulness in the lives of other people. And then there's a third purpose here behind the sufferings, the weakness and the power of God at work in us. And that is the strengthening of our faith. He speaks about that. I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So faith is made stronger through suffering, through weakness. The faith that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus, of course, the overcomer. We believe and we speak. Unfortunately, there are many people in pulpits today who speak, but they don't believe. Well, they really ought to be silent and say nothing. But when we believe, we want to speak. We have something to speak about. Because we know, says Paul, we know that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. All things are for your sakes. Here is the confidence, the assurance that whatever happens to me, whatever people say about me, whatever I feel, God is honing and toning my faith, making it stronger so that I may trust him through it all. And God is glorified in it and through it. The purpose of God. The paradox. The power of God. The purpose of God. And then the final thing that Paul talks about here is this eternal perspective. And we are to keep that perspective clear. Eternity. Because we are only here for a very short time. And this gives us a totally new perspective on our weakness. The outward man is perishing. It certainly is. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. What a wonderful thing that is. Do we not feel that more and more? The outward man. We struggle. We fight. Sometimes it's hard just to get up in the morning. Sometimes we are exhausted with care. Perhaps caring for others, perhaps caring about our own lives. We are perishing. The outward man is perishing. You will know that. You will know how easy it is for the body to begin to fail. Even younger people are conscious of that. The rugby player 34, that's it, if he's lucky. Then he can't do what he used to do. He can't run as he used to do. He can't tackle as he used to. The outward man is perishing. It's all part of the process. But the inward man, there's a process going on within us. This wonderful renewal of the inner man, day by day, by the power of the Holy Spirit through the grace of our Savior. So every day the Holy Spirit helps us. Every day He focuses our attention upon our Savior and His life and death and resurrection, which is the daily life of every believer, or should be. Every day faith is being increased, or should be. Hope is growing and developing. Love is developing. We are being enabled and empowered to do what we couldn't do on our own. This inward renewal of the person by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a glorious thing. And then there's the wonderful prospect of the glory to come, of a fuller, richer, better life than we've ever known here below. I may have mentioned here before, forgive me if I have, a lady who had a profound influence on our lives. Her name was Kathy Crowhurst. She spent 30 years of her life in an iron lung in West Hendon Hospital in London. She couldn't breathe without the aid of an iron lung. She had a contraption that enabled her with her lips, that's the only part of her body she could move, with her lips to put on the television, to set up a telephone and so on. Kathy Crowhurst, 30 years in an iron lung in West Hendon Hospital, was the sweetest Christian I think I've ever known. Her body was finished, but her spirit, inward renewal of her spirit day by day, and now in glory, a new body, new heavens, new earth. So we have to keep this perspective clear. Eternity, eternity, eternity. This life is here, and we're here as a preparation for the next life. That doesn't mean we shouldn't throw ourselves wholeheartedly into living as fully as we can. But all the time, our eye is on the goal. That's the marathon runner, the goal. What's the goal? The goal is the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, when He will renew our bodies and the universe, and we shall see as we are seen and know as we are known. Paradox, power, the purpose of God, and this perspective. And the result, therefore, we do not lose heart. Paul repeats it. We go on. We persevere. We live. We serve. We love. We honor God and one another. We do not lose heart. And we look to Jesus Christ and keep our eye on the goal, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What an encouragement this is to people like you and me, who are conscious of the jar of clay, who are conscious of the earthen vessel, who are conscious of our weakness, but who at the same time know something of the strength and the power that God supplies through His eternal Son. And we praise Him for that.